I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game. It's Commercial Boy to Denver and the Big Tabowski to Gotham. But first,
I think the severity of the penalty, in particular to Sean Payton, I think took everybody by surprise, including Sean Payton.
That's New Orleans Times-Picayune sports columnist and Saints beat writer Jeff Duncan.
I think everybody thought it would be multiple games, but this is unprecedented. Never in the history of the league has a coach been suspended for a full year for something like this.
In fact, no NFL head coach has ever been suspended for any reason, even for so much as a day. Duncan is referring to the sentences NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell pronounced on Wednesday. Saints head coach Sean Payton was suspended starting April 1st through next season without pay and could lose up to $7 million in salary. Among the others penalized were Saints general manager Mickey Loomis, suspended for 8 games without pay, and former Saints defensive coordinator Greg Williams, suspended indefinitely. Williams had signed on to be the Rams defensive coordinator starting next season. Assistant coach Joe Vitt was suspended for 6 games and fined $100,000, and Commissioner Goodell imposed a $500,000 fine on the team and stripped the Saints of 2 second-round draft picks. The league has said that player penalties may be forthcoming. From 2008 through 2010, Greg Williams presided over a system that paid so-called bounties to New Orleans players who knocked opposing players from the game. Payton and Loomis knew of the system and failed to end it. All three of them apparently tried to cover up their violation of various league rules when Goodell began an investigation in 2010. The commissioner was asked how he would respond to people who felt the penalties were excessive.
I don't think you can be too hard on people that put at risk our players' health and safety. That is a critical issue for us going forward, and it has been in our past.
That concern notwithstanding, Jeff Duncan, among others, feels that Williams, Payton, and Loomis might not have been so severely sanctioned if they'd all acknowledged 2 years ago that the Saints were breaking the rules.
It wasn't just the crime, it was also the cover-up. And we've talked about that at length here. It was similar to Watergate, and actually someone in the NFL office compared the way the Saints handled this to the Nixon White House. I thought that was interesting, and I thought that was also pretty damning.
On Friday, Sean Payton issued an apology on the Saints' website in which he expressed regret and took full responsibility for what went on under his watch. An unscientific survey of Saints fans suggests, not surprisingly, that they think Commissioner Goodell went too far. Iris Schneblin is the owner and chef at Iris, a New Orleans restaurant.
It seems a little harsh to me. Bill Belichick, when he got caught for spying, didn't get suspended one single day, and then they spend Sean Payton a whole year. But I think all it really does is punish the fans, which we've done nothing wrong.
Joining me is Mike Wise, sports columnist for The Washington Post. Mike, welcome to Only a Game.
Thank you.
And Bill Dwyer, former sports editor and current sports columnist for The Los Angeles Times. Bill, welcome to you as well.
Happy to be here, Bill. Thank you.
We just heard from a Saints fan who thinks Commissioner Goodell went too far, so I want to ask you both, were the penalties handed out to the Saints appropriate? And Bill, why don't you take that first?
Quick answer, yes, they were appropriate. And the second part of that, Bill, would be that it doesn't surprise me that a fan would think that the penalties were too harsh. There's no surprise in that at all.
Mike, do you concur?
Yes. There's a big difference between a performance incentive system, which is illegal technically by the collective bargaining agreement, but that and a malicious intent to injure, two hugely different things. And clearly they had documentation that these guys were trying to put people out of the game, not just make a sack. And the whole notion of the snitches get stitches angle in this is even more bothersome to me, that there are guys in this league who are more upset by the fact that people have told on other players for doing something in society that would be considered criminal than they are the guys were laid out for money and told you want to go hurt your opponent. That's how warped chin strap nation is on this.
Does that mindset suggest to you that bounty hunting, whatever you want to call it, is prominent throughout the league?
It does to me. And the only difference here is this was a formal, organized manner. It was documented. It was something that was provable. It was the arrogance involved in something like this, to start a program and pay off people for causing injuries. And we have the image of Brett Favre being beaten up by these guys. Is incredible. Yes, it's a tough game, and people keep emailing me saying, well, that's what they're supposed to do. But when you formalize it like this, when you organize it and you keep track of it, and people know how much money is due for what kind of hit, it takes it to a whole new level, and I think Mike would agree with that.
So, Mike, in your opinion, were the New Orleans Saints the only team in the NFL running a bounty program?
No. Our reporting at the Washington Post is such that we've got up to 10 players who said that there was a bounty system in Washington while Greg Williams was the defensive coordinator. Now, was it a systematic and known by the head coach and the owner and everybody else? No, it doesn't appear that way. But clearly, when you get Matt Bowen writing in the Chicago Tribune about specific instances in which Greg Williams offered money up for players, and Philip Daniels said he got $1,500 for a few sacks against the Cowboys in 2005, something was awry in Washington. And Buffalo has said as much. Some of the players in Buffalo have told the Buffalo News the same.
Mike, you suggest the unprecedented suspensions of Sean Payton and others were more about spin, perhaps, than punishment. What led you to that conclusion?
Well, I should say that I don't think that Roger Goodell or anybody in the NFL dismisses the violence and is only trying to grow the economic windows of the league. I think there is some genuine concern over the concussion issue. I also think that this league has become built around its offensive stars, and whether it be the millions that are pulled in each year from different entities regarding fantasy leagues, or the fact that points and touchdowns are what moves this league now, moves the needle. A lot of big hits have been legislated out of the league, and all that is for good. But I also think that there's clearly an economic benefit to doing what he did with the Saints. Because when you do that, you essentially tell every other defensive coordinator and coach that might be conspiring to hold the bounty system, you may not work in the NFL again either if you want to take our offensive stars out of the game. The healthier we are, the more we could sell an 18-game regular season at some point to our players.
I would disagree with Mike only in one regard. I'm kind of a hardliner on the NFL. I think that everything in the NFL is economically driven. I don't think that Roger Goodell wants to sit in a press box and watch people have their necks broken, but I think that the motivation for the NFL, which is this monumentally financially successful endeavor, is economic from start to finish. And I think that this was an easy call. What I wrote was that it was an easy call for Roger to come down hard because financially it says to his viewing audience and to the few people who still buy tickets that we're taking care of things, when indeed what he could be saying is we sure don't want anything hurting our bottom line.
The NFL says that penalties for players involved in the scandal are forthcoming. A lot of people were surprised by the length of Sean Payton's suspension. Will the player penalties be similarly harsh? Mike, why don't you take that first?
I think Jonathan Vilma is reported to be putting out his own bounty as a Saints linebacker and putting money up for teammates. If that's been documented and they've been thorough in the investigation, at some point they have to broker a deal with the NFL Players Association and say, we've got to put a couple of your players out here, and you can grieve it all you want. But I think if it becomes too widespread, and I think this is why the NFL has deemed Washington, Tennessee, and Buffalo, places where Greg Williams used to work, as almost off limits, because you could go back and exact so many penalties and so many players, some of which are still in the league for some of this, that it would dilute your product severely. And so while I think a couple of the Saints might be in danger of losing some games, I can't imagine this thing becomes widespread player suspensions. Basically, it's almost like that Few Good Men movie. I mean, once they got Colonel Nathan R. Jessup on the stand to admit he had administered the code red, the two kids on trial, the Marine privates, were out of the woods criminally. I think that their direct supervisors were saying this was okay. That almost gives you some clearance as far as discipline goes.
Take it a step further, as Mike is saying, the image is perfect. The NFL fans do not want to know the truth. We don't want to know the truth.
That's a very good point.
Bill Dwyer is a sports columnist for the LA Times. Bill, thanks very much for joining me.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And Mike Wise is a sports columnist for the Washington Post. Mike, thanks to you as well.
Yeah, thanks to both of you. I enjoyed the conversation.